Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need. It's one place. And by the way, it's for free. You can use your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever. Creation tools allow you to record and edit your podcast so it sounds great. They'll distribute your podcast for you. You can be heard everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple, Google Podcasts, and so much more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Get started right now. Download it. You know you want to. Let's go. Hey everybody, Houston here, Wrestling Trash with David Burton, and today is our anniversary. Problem is, I pulled this show out the blue because I didn't plan this properly, so it's going to be a messy anniversary today. We are now 8 years of age, man. As of tonight, is our last episode in the 11th season, going on season 12, probably Wednesday morning. If Wednesday morning, we're going to go season 12 as of Wednesday morning, and a fresh era. In the meantime, I got David Bird in the house. David, before we get to you, I got some questions here. I want you to answer one of these. Let's start with Carrera first. Let's see if I get his name properly. One second here. I tried to do it on Twitter Spaces. That didn't work out. I got to like David. Let's do this. Okay. Jacob Carrera from Boston. He says, Lee and David, I'm your biggest hater. Oh, that's great. But who will win the Royal Rumble? And what is your thoughts on AEW versus WWE?
Who will win the Royal Rumble? That's a really good, interesting question. With all the releases that have... Oh, let me shut this real quick. Excuse me, you got dogs. Anyway, it's an interesting question. You know, with all the releases that the WWE has done in the past year and a half, especially this year, I don't know. But I'm going to go on the run. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I will probably say they'll probably and finally and hopefully will pull the trigger with Cesaro.
Interesting.
That's my opinion. Now, in terms of AEW, I think it's awesome that there's other companies around. So that you guys and girls can have somewhere else to work and try their craft. Especially again with all the releases WWE and ROH going out and releasing their talent. Mm-hmm. Next month, ROH's last show will be the final battle pay per view. But to answer your question, I think AEW just needs to leave WWE alone and focus on that. And most importantly, they need to stop building their
hometown. Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you this. Mm-hmm. When AEW can consistently sell out the Garden, then we can have the conversation on who's better. Selling out other states in New York, that's cool. But nobody, other than New Japan, nobody has sold out the Garden consistently like WWE. Nobody. You can sell out the Garden and we'll talk.
AEW can get the Garden at the office.
Mm-hmm. Selling out Shea Stadium, wherever it's called, New York.
Arthur Ashe Stadium, that was where AEW had their Dynamite show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the smallest stadium in this country, only 20,000 seats.
Yeah.
And to their credit, I'll give them some type of credit. They've gone there and sold it out. But they just need to focus on themselves. I'm glad they're getting new talent so they can make the in-ring work better. You know, a lot of these young guys and girls, some of them, not all of them, they need some work.
Mm-hmm.
They need some work. And the reason I say that is some of them are not properly trained and they make a lot of mistakes in the match. And fans have made several YouTube videos strictly on AEW wrestlers messing up their spots and their moves.
Shit.
And Tony Khan actually tried to have it removed. So, yeah, guys just need to, focus on themselves, not worry about WWE, and build their own homegrown talent. Because to be honest, all their stars are from WWE.
Yep.
I don't need to go down the list of names, you know who they are. But I want to say this. Love gets Nia Jax, God help you. That girl is dangerous to work with. She needs to be trained, retrained or whatever. But that girl, I'm glad she got released. She'll know how to work properly.
Yeah, she's ran through several wrestlers. Not just the jobbers, enhancement talent, but even the stars. I mean, she's into Becky Lynch, she's into Bayley, she's into Tyree Singh. So she's gone through several women during her time in the company.
Man, let's talk
about unsafe work.
We did this earlier before my failure on Twitter, but Survivor Series, I'm giving Survivor Series a C minus, because A, you focus, you shifted your focus towards the golden egg thing, a replica, by the way, of the golden egg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's millions of dollars. It's just a replica, and it's millions of dollars, and you got it in this case, and it's like, where's my egg? Somebody stole my egg. First of all, how do people do that when you got security in front of your door? And Vince don't ever have security in front of his door. Vince never, in the history of Raw, SmackDown, whatever, has had security in front of his office. Ever. So, for him to do that, okay, got this egg in the case, security in front of the door, how it gets stolen. And all the Monday we come to find out, we're going to bring everybody on one show. I'm going to find out who did one way or the other. And it turns out Austin Theory did it. And he did a championship match. Because Sami Zayn turned him in. And, you know, itches get stitches,
yeah,
if you will.
That's a big thing.
Nobody like a snitch. So, Sami Zayn's out. Austin Theory is in. Interruption of, yeah, interfere with. And that's when we get to a young man that claims he related to Roman Reigns and them, and he attacks Seth Rollins.
You know, I didn't see the entire whole episode. I saw some parts of it. We do have new women's tag team champions, and Queen Zelina, who's already one half of the champions, along with Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
After they defeated Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley last night, so congratulations to them. And let's not forget Seth Rollins being attacked by a fan. As Rollins was leaving after attacking a Finn Balor before the match can even start, he was attacked by a fan. He was tackled.
Mm-hmm.
And, when it happened, they quickly cut away to what was going on in the ring. But thanks to the fans in the arena posting clips up on social media, we got to see the entire incident. Of course, the fan tackled Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins would put his attacker in a front face lock and held him there until security came and grabbed him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those people who are saying Seth Rollins got attacked and he got his ass whooped, those are false. If you haven't seen the video, check it out. I pretty much just said what happened in the video. He was tackled. Rollins quickly put the guy in a front face lock and held him there until security grabbed him. Which wasn't long, by the way.
Mm.
But he got set pretty good. That was a nice tackle. You know, Seth, he caught Seth good because Seth didn't see it coming. But hats off to Seth Rollins for quickly reacting the way he did and quickly putting him in a front face lock. that was crazy. See, when you do something like that, you run the risk of not only being arrested and prosecuted, which this guy is, but it's open season on you because the arrestors will defend themselves.
Yep.
So don't try to, you know, any idiot out there listening to this and attempts to do this, don't think about doing it, because it's not going to end well. Because I remember there was one instance where the fan jumped the rail, attacked the wrestler, the fan got his ass beat, and he attempted to sue the wrestler out of practice. Of course, that didn't end well. You know, you can't attempt to sue the person that defended themselves, because you're the one that attacked him in the first place. You know, it's self-defense. You know, any time a person defends himself in self-defense, and it can be proven it was in self-defense, that individual cannot get in trouble.
Right,
so,
right.
Hats off to Seth Rollins, and everything was okay, and it wasn't bad, and nobody got hurt, so, but still, things like that should never, ever, ever take place. It's a bad, bad move. And this happened to every company at least once. It even happened to AEW once already. And the company is only 3 years old and they already have one incident. Yeah, so, if you're thinking about doing that just to get on TV and attempt to get noticed, please don't, because it's not going to end well.
I have another question for you from Kelly from Zachary, Louisiana. How you doing, Kelly? She said, what do you think of Bray Wyatt, and when will we see Asuka again?
Well, I'm not sure about Asuka. I do know she's been out with a broken hand and nerve damage in all her fingers, and she has not yet been cleared by the company to return. So once she's cleared, she will be back. Now, in terms of Bray Wyatt, I have no idea where he's going to turn up. But wherever he does go, he cannot be Bray Wyatt anymore.
Of course.
Now, if he had did what Jesse Ventura did and simply trademarked his name and his character, then that would have been different. But he's going to have to come up with something entirely different. So that's going to be even more interesting in itself. Especially where he turns up. Now, most people are expecting it to be AEW, but he's had talks with the people at Impact, so I don't know where he's going to turn up. But if I had to, if I was a betting man, I would probably say AEW. His 90-day no-compete clause is up, by the way, so he is free to go wherever he chooses. Speaking of being free, by the way, the big man, the former NXT North American champion, Bronson Reed, who made his Impact debut at their pay-per-view, Turning Point, so he is now in Impact, and through the Impact's working relationship, he will also be doing New Japan shows as well. He's now going by the name Jonah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that kid a while ago. You know,
yeah, he made quite an impression in his Impact debut, by the way.
I don't know the next pay-per-view. I think it's a Throwback Throwdown. They haven't given us a date. But I do know this. January 8th. At the Bomb Factory in Dallas, Texas, over there in Deep Ellum, is going to be Card to Kill. I missed last year. I remember I was going to go last year and I missed it at the Bomb Factory in Dallas, Texas, in Deep Ellum. The Bomb Factory, Hard to Kill. By the way, is that a bar or arena? What is that?
Um, I don't remember. I think it's a small venue.
Yeah. But anyway,
I know it's Samoa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what it is. I've been there, but I've never actually gone inside the place. But I do know it's a small venue.
Gotcha. So it'll be in Dallas, Texas, in Deep Ellum, at the Bomb Factory, January 8th. As we get closer, we'll give you all the details and stuff. While I got your attention, that's brought to you by Back Deliveries and More LLC. Back Deliveries and More LLC, they put the D in delivery. 888-712-2587. You got a CDL license, hit them up. You can drive trucks and get paid. Back of Deliveries and More LLC, they put the D in delivery. Speaking of delivering, WWE did not do. They did not deliver last Sunday night at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I must admit, I was a little disappointed. I was hoping that SmackDown would get a victory, but that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, once again won.
Yeah, because it's bragging rights, and the winning brand, yeah, so SmackDown needs to start the game up or something.
Yeah, because they need to have SmackDown needs to start winning, because the more Raw wins, it's going to get less interesting. No, I'm not going to say it was a terrible show, because it wasn't. It was decent.
Mm-hmm.
It was passable, I'll say it at that.
The next paper.
You know, I've seen a lot of the fan feedback. I've read a lot of the stuff, and several people that I know were at the show, and I can honestly say from what they've told me, they had a great time. But I will admit, I thought the Charlotte Becky Lynch match was a match of the night. They stole the show. The Roman Reigns and Big E match was very good. It started off kind of slow, but it gotten better towards the end. It was painfully obvious that Big E was going to lose, and that's exactly what happened. SmackDown only won two matches. A Survivor Series, while Raw won the other matches. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Damian Priest, and as I just mentioned, Roman Reigns defeated Big E. Those were the only two matches of SmackDown 1. All the other matches were won by Raw. The men's Survivor Series Raw team beat the SmackDown team. The women's Survivor Series team beat the SmackDown Survivor Series team. We had Almas, who won the SmackDown 25-man Battle Royal. Of course, I mentioned Becky Lynch beat Charlotte. And of course, RK-Bro defeated the Usos.
You know, in January, the first year, I believe they're going to skip December pay-per-view. But the first new pay-per-view for the new year, day one, is going to be Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be at the State Farm Arena at January 21. Tickets will be available soon. I don't have the card for this, but you can get on Ticket Stub, Ticketmaster.
Well, there is no card for it yet.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But I'll tell you what there is a card for. 3 weeks later, after day one, will be the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, baby.
And history is going to be made, because this will be the first Royal Rumble to take place on a Saturday.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Next year's Royal Rumble will be on a Saturday. And of course, both the men's and women's Royal Rumble matches will take place. Also, WWE just announced a couple of days ago next year's SummerSlam.
Mm.
History will also be made, because SummerSlam will be in July, and that will also take place on a Saturday.
Wow. Cool.
Second consecutive year in a row that SummerSlam will be on a Saturday, and it will be the first SummerSlam not to take place in the month of August.
Yes, sir. It's normally August time. But that's cool, though, as long as it's a summer, because SummerSlam, it's all good. Now, the problem is, I'm going to go ahead and make this pick. It's going to be a ridiculous pick. I'm going to do it anyway. I know it's ridiculous. If I was a betting man, I'd lose my money. I'm picking Brock Lesnar. I know. I get it. I know. Trust me, I know. It's ridiculous. I'm picking Brock Lesnar to win the Rumble. Win it all.
Interesting.
If I was a big man, I'd probably lose my money.
Well, I do know Brock Lesnar is scheduled to appear on the December 10th, 2021 episode of SmackDown. For those who saw Survivor Series or for those who missed it, Brock Lesnar's suspension is now officially over. It was announced during the Survivor Series pay-per-view that his suspension has been lifted and it's over. And Brock Lesnar will appear on a December 10th episode of SmackDown.
He had to pay $1 million. That boy had to pay $1 million. Or did he?
That's a good point. But Brock Lesnar's suspension is now lifted.
Mm.
And that spells bad news for the big dog Roman Reigns.
Well, as a scripture in the good book, you can't serve two masters. So I can't wait Paul Heyman to make up his mind. Is it Lesnar or is it Reigns? What gravy chain you riding on?
Well, I think Paul Heyman is going to do what he did at SummerSlam, stay in the neutral corner.
Yeah. You need to pick a gravy train and ride that sucker. Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, this is my opinion. I love Paul Heyman, one of the greatest minds in wrestling. This dude can convince me to buy a chair for no reason, and I'll do it. But Paul Heyman needs to pick gravy train and ride that sucker.
Yeah. Remember, I can't help. Paul was in a neutral corner. He didn't side with anybody. But yeah, Brock Lesnar will be coming after Roman Reigns.
Mm.
I know Roman Reigns is
going
to have Brock Lesnar in the back of his head now.
Well, yeah.
You know, you can't keep Brock Lesnar away from you too long. Now that suspension is over, Brock Lesnar is going to return to come back after Roman Reigns. But Paul made a point. He's like, after all the people you want to face, why Roman and why Universal Championship? Well, Roman talks too much. Like, he thinks he's big and bad, but Brock owns Roman when it comes to matches. You know, like, I'll hit you with a dose of reality, and your little championship will go bye-bye.
Well, and then what we're going to find out soon enough, but right now, your Universal Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns, if you missed it, was on tonight's show. You can check it out. You can check it out on YouTube.com. Just type in Roman Reigns Tonight Show and enjoy your Universal Heavyweight Champion just smashing people.
Oh, yeah. He said he doesn't mind facing a Rock, and I think that's a match that's going to happen somewhere down the line. I'm not sure when, but it will happen. And that will be booking malpractice if it doesn't happen. I can see Roman beating the Rock, to be honest.
I can and I can't. I'm a mixture, because, like, on one side, the Rock has been in the ring since, like, a legit match. WrestleMania 32 don't count. A legit match in a long time. He's been doing movies.
It counts even over 6 seconds. It counts.
Okay.
Rock ain't gonna be beating Roman Reigns the way he did Eric Rowan.
Yeah.
So Rock is gonna have to kill him.
Well,
which he brings out all the time, but being in shape and being in
Rain
shape is two different things.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you this: The Rock has a nice iron paradise. He has a gym on his property that's cool and all, but not like being in the square circle.
That's true. Roman Reigns, as of today, has held the Universal Championship for 450 days.
We the ones, man. We the ones.
450 days.
Oh, excuse me, that's my ring alarm.
A long time to be a champion.
All right.
That's pretty impressive. He's not too far from Brock Lesnar.
On that note, let me ask you this. What's better, to be a multi-time champion or to be a champion that never lost a title? For example,
Bruno Sammartino is the champion for 6 years. Ric Flair, 16-time world champion. Look how many times he lost it. So, which is better, losing, being a certain amount of time champion, or a champion that never lost your title?
I would probably say being a champion that didn't lose a title too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno's only been champion twice.
Yeah. Everybody can say Ric Flair and John Cena, 16-time champions. But look how many times you lost the title, though.
Yeah, and John Cena's at 16. Randy Orton's at 14, as is Triple H, and they're two world title wins away from tying.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair has gone on record saying he wants Randy Orton to break his record. And he hopes Randy Orton breaks his record.
We always said this, and always been said, rather, and if you build the wrestling business from the ground up, you get Randy Orton.
Absolutely. Well, I can't put in words how exceptional Randy Orton is. Randy Orton is amazing.
If he just remember his script now and then, he'd be all right. Every now and then,
a little man, that dude is a piece of work.
Yeah, I think he get high before a match. It's Riddle, that's a special dude right there.
He had a good match with Dolph Ziggler last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That Riddle's starting to grow on people, and they need to make new stars. So anytime that somebody can gain in popularity and become more popular, it's better for the company, and it's better for the wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think Matt Riddle has the potential to be a big star. Of course, I'm not the only person to say that. Randy said it himself. AJ Styles has said it. No, Randy did say that Matt Riddle's starting to grow on him.
There's one match I'm looking forward to seeing one of these days. Don't know if it's going to be in this lifetime or my lifetime. I would like to see Brock Lesnar and Shinsuke Nakamura in WWE.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said it that way. In WWE. Yes, because they have worked with each other before when they were both working for New Japan. At the time, Brock Lesnar was the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, defending the title against Shinsuke Nakamura and beating Shinsuke Nakamura with an F5.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in WWE, I wouldn't mind seeing that again.
Yes, sir. Yeah, just a little bit left for you, ladies and gentlemen. If I can just squeeze a little bit more out you, David, just shoot what's on your mind, man.
Well, you know, know, what's going on with the World Wrestling Entertainment and all their recent releases. But they need to chill. They need to chill. Because they're letting way too many people go. I know that they didn't need to let all of them go.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, there were several people they should have hung on to. And what sucks is they release all the people that the people care about. And then the ones that people don't care about, they keep. And every time they make those hair-blade decisions, it pisses the fans off, and they don't watch. And when they don't watch, they don't go to the shows. When they don't go to the shows, they don't do the network subscriptions. And they lose the money from the fans, and then the fans watch something else. So all it does is help the other shows. It'll either help Impact, or it'll help AEW. But they need to stop making these hair-blade decisions. But you should have been hanging on to people like Keith Lee and Karrion Kross and Bray Wyatt and the Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people they should have been hanging on to. Oh, man, it's just ridiculous. But, and they shouldn't have to release any more of the people. They should be done. Now, people have made some inside jokes, especially with the upcoming WWE 2K22 video game, which, in my personal opinion, I don't think the game's going to sell, because no one's going to want to buy a game where half the people in the game are no longer in the company. You know, by the time that game comes out, it may only have 20 people in them.
Mm.
So they need to chill out. And who knows what the Royal Rumble is going to look like in January. Those decisions is going to hurt WWE because it's going to make people not want to come to WWE. You know, people are going to lose interest. People are not going to trust the company because they don't feel their jobs are safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all that does is hurt the company. Then you got an idiot like Tony Khan saying, when people sign with WWE, they're not signing contracts. They're not signing to stay with the company. And what I mean by Tony Khan is an idiot. Every contract you sign is temporary.
Oh, yeah.
Not for life, you idiot.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how you feel.
What an idiot. No, Tony Khan's an idiot. But I've heard several people call him an idiot. Now I see why, because of the stupid things he says.
And by the way, I saw something on Facebook, the group I'm in, that kind of pissed me off. It said, if WWE keep doing what they're doing, they're going out of money like WCW. First of all, we have plenty of it. And first of all, we ain't going to run out of money. Secondly, we're not going to run out of business because the WWE would rather be, is going to be inherited rather than sold. For example, Triple H's kids, their kids will probably inherit WWE rather than selling it.
Well, I don't know this much. WWE financially, the company has made a lot of money this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous amount of money this year in the last 3 years they ever made. So they're doing something right, despite the releases. They're doing something right.
But
then no one can talk because out of all the wrestling companies in the world, WWE is the only wrestling company that's public. Everybody else is private.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a public company, you have to do things different from a private company.
Absolutely.
Something that idiot Tony Khan also doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, AEW needs to focus on themselves and stop worrying about WWE.
You know, like you just said, we're a public traded company. Let's say a board member watches a pay-per-view, watches Raw, SmackDown, and he don't like it. We got a problem if the board member don't like it, who sits on board of directors, and they make decisions. We got a problem.
You know, AEW is looking like another WCW. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but it's the truth. And I mentioned about the way that the young talent is working, doing stupid moves and stupid spots. They keep that up, they're not going to have long careers. They go 20, 30, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just need work. Like, half of those guys, not all of them, and girls, they need the performance center.
They get they can resist anything but temptation. It reminds me of Jeff Hardy back 2001 Survivor Series. He did the dumbest thing you can do in wrestling. This dude, all he had to do, climb the cage, put your foot over, get out of the cage, you win the match. No, Jeff Hardy's on the top of the cage, and the boy couldn't help it. He just couldn't help it. The Dudley Boy's on the table, and he missed. He did a swanton off the top of the cage, the tippy top of the cage, and he missed. He couldn't help himself.
He had to do it. He had a chance to win the match for his team, and he jumped off.
Yeah, he couldn't help himself. He had to do it. It was stupid.
I know Matt Hardy was pissed, because that particular cage match was different. Both members of the team had to escape the cage or pinfall. Matt Hardy escaped the cage. All Jeff had to do was escape the cage, because he wasn't winning in a pin with both the Dudleys in there. And he had the match won. All he had to do was climb down, but no. He had to do a swanton off the top of the cage and do a table. And then D-Law moves out the way. He goes crashing through the table. Matt Hardy attempts to get back in the cage and break the pin, but he doesn't make it in time because all it takes is 3 seconds. He gets pinned. They lose the match, and they lose the belt. Boy, was Matt Hardy pissed
out of
his brother Jeff.
And Matt Hardy was scolding Jeff for weeks.
Actually led to a match between them at the next pay per view, and I liked how he did that. Put it in the storyline.
He's like, look.
Matt said the same thing we were thinking. All you had was calm down.
And for weeks he got scolded, like, don't make those kind of decisions like that. It's unnecessary. And my old
had the match won. All you had to do was calm down, and we would have been tag team champions. But what did you do? You couldn't resist. You want to put him through a table, and it not only cost you, but it cost us the match.
And the whole point I'm saying is, these young folks today in the wrestling business, they want to do the flips, they want to do the flops, all that stuff. There's a time for that, but when you do that stuff out of this time, you're risking your own career. You could have 30, maybe 40 years in the business, but you cut it down to 15 and you decided to be Mr. Flippity Flop.
You know, that's funny too, because that's another major issue that AEW has, is that they do a lot of the same moves in every match.
Mm-hmm.
It's not done by the same wrestler, but every match is the same damn move, and that's just too much, and it's overkill. That's a major problem that company needs to fix with their wrestlers.
Mm.
You don't see that in other places, but in AEW, yeah, you see that a lot.
There's
a lot of little things that AEW is doing wrong that they need to fix.
Mm.
And to be honest, I do give some fans credit because some fans are starting to notice.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a time to do that, and there's a time just to keep on the ground and keep it simple and just get the pin, get the loss, get out of there.
You know, it's funny because they have these veterans in the company, and they call them coaches. People like Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and Dustin, that are supposedly working with this young talent, and to be honest, it seems like they're either not doing their jobs or the talent is not listening.
Because
mm-hmm. they're still going out and doing the same things.
That reminds me, one more story to wrap it up. That reminds me of Brock Lesnar. This is a young Brock Lesnar, 2003. So, WrestleMania 19. This is the main event for SmackDown. Oh, main event, period. I can't remember. Yeah, main event for SmackDown, the main event the whole show. So, Brock Lesnar does the five-star?
Superstar Press?
Yeah, Superstar Press.
Oh, WrestleMania.
And he misses. Brock Pat Patterson said, look, you don't need to be doing that. You're a big guy your size. You need to be doing that. This is before she started suplexing the hell out of you. This is young Brock Lesnar who's
moved around. Funny because he's done that a bunch of times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, he shouldn't have done it because Kurt Angle was too far. So that was his fault.
He did a beautiful.
I knew when he was going up, I knew it wasn't going to end well because Kurt was too far. I was like, there's no way he's going to make this.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know, I ended up being right, and he lands right on his head and almost breaks his.
Yes, sir, man.
Look at that concussion, too, a nasty concussion.
Concussion suit right there.
A concussion that almost ended his career.
Mm. Imagine winning the championship with the skin of your teeth and you can't work for a while because you got a concussion.
On top of that, a little bit of nerve damage in your neck. Not too fucking bright.
Yeah,
but you're
absolutely right. Like, Brock, this is before he. This is not the Suplex City, Brock. This is like the, This is right in the middle of the next best thing, Brock. Yeah, this is the next best thing, Brock.
Like I said before, he's done the shooting star press in the past. Again, two things happened. One, Kurt was too far, and two, Brock Lesnar hasn't done the move in over a year before doing it at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's young people, you need to think. You need to think about the way every wrestler, especially young wrestlers, should have life insurance paid up. Everybody should have life insurance, but especially wrestlers.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta be careful. You know what Big Show once said, if you're gonna do something, save it for a special night. Save it for something like WrestleMania. Where you can go all out. Don't go doing something stupid every single night.
Mm-hmm.
But the best example is something like The Undertaker. He's a big guy, 6'10", over 300 pounds, and he would save that dive he does at he always done it at WrestleMania. You've never seen him do it every single night.
Mm-hmm.
No, he did something like that. He saved it for something special at WrestleMania. I remember one dive in particular at WrestleMania in 2006 at WrestleMania 22. The guy did his dive on Mark Henry, and the dude dove over the casket and onto Mark Henry. And to be honest, I was actually afraid for his safety because I didn't think he was going to make it. But he made it. To my surprise, he made it. He dove over the ropes, went over the casket, and onto Mark Henry. Which was a nice visual, by the way.
That was nice, man. I missed those moments. Well, the way we gotta go ahead and get out of here. Before we do, I want to thank you so much for you guys' support. You guys are awesome. As of tomorrow morning, will be season 12 of Wrestler Tracks, and you guys are pretty awesome. By the way, if you want to, show brother some green, you shop with us, WrestlerTracks.com. Use the code BIRTHDAY in all caps, because my birthday is on the 30th, I'm just saying. Use the code BIRTHDAY in all caps, get you something, $12 off, any order $20 or more. And if you're real down with us, Cash App us, Wrestling Tracks, Money Sign Wrestling Tracks. And by the way, our website, WrestlingTracks.com, is good for the next 2 months. So you might want to take advantage of that. January or December expires, so we may or may not renew it. So you need to take advantage of it now. We got to go on out of here. Have a great evening. We'll see you next time.
Take care, people.